Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy joins us now. Congressman, welcome back to the show.
Hey, John. How are you doing?
Good. You are in the Capitol, I presume, getting ready for the president's address this evening?
Yes, sir.
You will attend?
Yes, sir.
Not all the Democrats will. Your colleague Jan Schakowsky, a Democrat from Illinois, has said she won't go. How do you make that decision?
I generally go. I want to make sure that the president sees the face of somebody who's not happy with what's going on right now in our country. And we can talk about that in more detail. But I am getting so many questions from my constituents right now about the chaos with regard to these executive orders, the illegal and unconstitutional, executive orders in many cases, and then what's being done about, or what's not being done, to rein in the cost of groceries, the price of eggs, which has gone up 27% since the inauguration, as well as the tariffs, which are now another tax hike on working families.
We should probably talk about the tariffs. Doesn't matter who's in the White House. 27% is because of the bird flu, right, Congressman?
100%. There's not a single executive order that touches on the bird flu. And they actually fired employees at the USDA who are dealing with it. They're just not paying enough attention.
I know that, but just the way it was unfair to Joe Biden to say the price of eggs is high, it's unfair, I think, to say that about Donald Trump. He doesn't have anything to do with the price of eggs. Even if he said he'd bring the price down, that they remain high has nothing to do with who's in the White House, right?
I think dealing with the avian flu is important. I'll just give you one example. Believe it or not, Brooke Rollins, the head of the USDA, wants to cancel the vaccine program for getting rid of bird flu. That doesn't make any sense, John. It doesn't make any sense in the middle of a bird flu epidemic. And just last month, 23 million chickens had to be culled because they had bird flu. That's a tenfold increase over 1 year ago. So yes, the government does have a role, and when they act intentionally, they can do something positive to deal with this situation.
The price of everything might go up, and particularly in Illinois, because we're such a favorable trading partner with Canada. Our state, I mentioned what the state treasurer said, is the leading exporter and importer with Canada of all 50 states. Who knew? Do you suppose, though, and the markets are reacting to the tariffs which are in place, I guess, as of today, do you think this is temporary, Congressman, that if it really is going to crash markets and increase prices, which we haven't seen yet, but it appears as though those are imminent. But I wonder if, as a result of that, this will still be remembered as a lever, and that it's not going to be this way for the rest of the year or for the rest of the administration. This is a short-term flex by the president. What do you think of that?
I think that's what the White House would like to say. And obviously, if behavior changes in a positive manner with another country in terms of its trading posture or its economic aggression lowers or goes down, that's a good thing. However, let's just take Canada, for instance. It doesn't make any sense to hike prices or hike tariffs by 25% where, no identifiable bad behavior has occurred on the part of the Canadians. And so at this point, he's kind of backing himself into a corner. The president is. I think that it's not really clear what the Canadians need to do in order to have the tariffs come down. And that just means higher prices for everybody at this point.
I know the Wall Street Journal said this is the dumbest trade war in history.
Right.
And then today they said we may have understated that, which
I know.
Which is...
It's nuts, man. I mean, just think about it. What's going to happen, and Justin Trudeau just announced this, he just put retaliatory tariffs on our farmers. He put retaliatory tariffs on our products from Illinois. So now you have two bad things happening. You're having basically a tax hike in the form of higher prices on whatever, inputs from Canada are making up our manufactured goods. And then our farmers are going to get hit in the shins because their stuff's not going to be able to sell as much in Canada. So it doesn't make any sense.
Maybe I'll finish the sentence that I was starting. and that is, I'm just playing the devil's advocate with you, but maybe that's the price we have to pay. And the president has sold the tariffs as revenue positive rather than negative. But we just have to be patient. Give it time. And these markets will either discount their costs to us, or the U.S. economy will prosper because you've got a steel plant in East St. Louis, and now we're going to have to rely domestically. So in aggregate, this is going to be positive. But, of course, right now, it's just negative. We're feeling the pain of the Band-Aid coming off, but who knows? Maybe the patient will be healed. How about that for an analogy?
Nice try, John. I don't think that works for Canada.
Doing the best I can here, okay?
You got a tough job, my friend. Look, if you were to make a case with regard to strategic tariffs for instance, Chinese-made goods, especially in those areas where they dump goods at prices beneath the cost at which they produce them to drive out their competition in
that
the U.S.,
happens.
Whether it's...
That happens.
That happens. It happens all the time. Steel, aluminum...
What about that?
Solar panels. That makes sense because you're leveling the playing field and you're making it very clear to the Chinese, look, if you keep dumping, you're going to pay a price, okay? And but with the Canadians, you can't say that, and it makes no sense. And so basically we're kind of in this situation where we're just at war. And as the Wall Street Journal rightly pointed out, it's the dumbest trade war in history. And, you know, working families are going to pay for it.
So you're going to be there this evening. What are you listening for tonight?
Well, look, we've seen this before, and we're kind of used to the theatrics at this point. I think that I would like to hear him talk about how he's going to deal with some of these kind of kitchen table items that people are talking about. I'd like to hear him say, look, we're not going to abolish the Department of Education. We're not going to abolish these agencies that, you know, people are really concerned about.
Well, let me ask you about one of them, Social Security. He has also said they're not going to touch Social Security. Elon Musk called it a Ponzi scheme. And something does need to be done about the diminishing Social Security trust. So what is your thought about that, Congressman?
First, I'm not sure that I completely trust them with regard to Social Security, Medicare, or Medicaid. That's the first point. Second point is, yes, we do have to do something about Social Security. I think we have to do it in a thoughtful manner. What I've proposed in the past, among other things, is, you know, we do have to adjust the cap that's subject to the Social Security tax right now. Right now, it unfairly falls mainly on working people.
$160,000, something like
correct.
That?
Correct.
After
correct.
Which you don't
correct.
Have to pay. You know, it's funny. I was talking to somebody about that very issue yesterday, and I proposed that. I said, why don't we just, if you're lucky enough to make more than $160,000, you can afford to keep paying in to Social Security. And it came back to me this way. Yeah, but then it'll increase your benefits. You will have to pay you out more because you've put in more. And then I was thinking, well, maybe we ought to just cut it off at some point, and you'll just have to continue to contribute even if you don't get all of that back. But what's your solution to that, Congressman?
I think that it makes sense what you're saying. I think that doing something to adjust that cap, maybe it's not lifted completely, maybe it is lifted to a certain point, but that's a way that a lot of economists suggest that we should help to reform Social Security. Can we talk about Medicaid for 1 second? Because you touched on it a little bit, but like Medicaid is definitely under attack, and we think that upwards of $2 to $3 trillion of cuts are slated for Medicaid under the Republican budget plan. Boy, I would sure like to hear more about that tonight, because that's something that I'm worried about, my constituents are worried about, hospitals are worried about in our area. It would gut our health care system.
I'm out of time, Congressman. I'll just leave you with this question. You can answer it any way you want. Dick Durbin has not said he's going to run again, and everybody thinks you're going to run for his seat. Have you had any communication with Dick Durbin's office about his seat?
There's no vacancy, and I hope he does run again. I think that he's going to go down as our greatest senator in history.
You would take that seat if he were not to run again.
There's no vacancy, John.
Yeah. Okay. I appreciate your time as always, Raja. We'll look for you on TV tonight. Will you be wearing a pink tie?
I'm going to be wearing blue. It's a National Education Week, so I promised I would wear blue for my teachers.
It's nice to talk to you, Congressman. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, sir.